once again to Junk Dilemmas, an Urban Wealth podcast. I'm joined once again by a man called James. He's a bit drunk now. He's had a lot of liquor and it's still only noon.
I haven't had enough, in fairness.
No. But this is a very special episode for us because it's set in our wonderful land, the Emerald Isle of Ireland.
It's the Special Olympics Trials 2015.
2007, actually. So today we're going to be covering the short film, the directorial debut of Mr. Welch, entitled Nuts.
Mm. You can hardly call this a film.
Well, it's a short film.
It's very short.
What can I say? And well, before we get to that, anything happened since our last episode, Jan?
You went for a piss and you fed the cat.
In that order.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
So this one, as I say, directed by Welch, and he would have been living over here at the time.
Was he?
Yeah, he was living here in the mid to late noughties, somewhere in Dublin. And this obviously coincided with him deciding to direct his first film. So why not do it in our fine country?
Looking at the results, I could see why he shouldn't have done it.
it's a short film. Most of them are done on very low budgets.
Extremely low.
We'll get to all of that. But again, the writing credits on this go to Welch himself and Dean Kavanagh. So again, he's involved again as his longtime writing partner. Emer Martin is the film's producer, or at least, yeah, she's the film's producer. I can't remember the name of the film company involved, but I did look up their website. This is, again, readily available on YouTube and on their website if you wanted to watch it. And I'd advise anyone to watch it before you actually listen to this.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to pay for this.
Oh, God, no. No. And from her webpage, or the film's webpage, Emer says, Irvin Welch's film Nuts is a dark comedy. Underneath the obvious comic elements, there are bigger issues at play. The much overlooked men's health issue of testicular cancer and the closeted racism among Ireland's middle class professionals.
That's very fancy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Ireland is a country that has recently undergone dramatic changes. So this is obviously from 2007. And the comfortable materialistic world that Dominic, played by Joe McKinney, has built around himself is about to fall apart. This synopsis is nearly longer than the
actual film.
This is a short film by novelist and screenwriter Irvin Welch. It's his directorial debut, as I've said. There we go. Produced by Emer Martin and Niall McKay. The budget, can you guess?
£3.
Higher.
£30.
£7,000.
£7,000. Well, that explains it, yeah.
So, yeah, there we go. And let's get to it. So we start off with a marvellous shot of the Docklands in Dublin, accompanied by some music.
Shit music.
I looked up, the media company, and they list most of the music by somebody or some band called the Klinsmann Collective.
Ooh.
So I don't know if Jürgen is involved in that or what, but I don't recognise any of the songs. It also mentions, Jerry Fish. And the Mud Hub Club. He has a song later on in the episode. But we get Joe McKinney here playing a character called Dominic, or Dom. And he's jogging through the Phoenix Park, which we know well. Some people know it more than others. But I'm talking about it from a childhood perspective. It turns into a different place altogether after the cover of Darkness, it must be said.
Yes. I'll be wary of your bits.
Yeah, there's a lot of rustling in the bushes. But during the day, there'll be a lot of kids and families playing. And he jogs up the monument in the Phoenix Park.
The monument?
What's it called?
You said monument.
Monument. Monument, I said.
Yeah, you didn't.
Anyway, which, again, I know well. I remember cycling, maybe not cycling up the monument. I remember cycling down it a few times.
Ah, yes.
And bursting myself.
Sure, you have to give these things.
They're kind of weird. I suppose they are steps, but they're very wide steps. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't step up them one.
No, unless you're ginormous.
But old Joe, or Dom, jogs up it and he gets to the top. He does the old Rocky Balboa celebration.
Feeling on top of the world.
I wonder, does he do that every day, does that celebration?
Not by the looks of him.
he's fit as a fiddle.
He's a miserable looking fucker.
He gets more miserable as this one goes on.
He definitely does.
I'm only thinking as well now how we mentioned the kind of homosexual play that goes on at night time in the Phoenix Park. Mm. Remember, remember some poor fucker was, I think they fucking set fire to his tent. There's obviously homeless people yeah. staying there as well. Some poor fucker, this is years ago when I was on boards.ie, just reading up on news and what have you, and you can obviously comment as well. And they're talking about this poor homeless fucker, and somebody had set his tent on fire. I think he was inside at the time. But somebody wrote, there's a direct link between the violence in the Phoenix Park and the homosexual activity. And somebody else replied, shuttle bus? But he gets it when he goes around the corner on the monument. There's a drunkard, James, an Irish drunkard.
Oh, this, this is where it begins.
He's sitting down at the top of the monument. Again, it's a long time since I've been around there, but I don't know if they're allowed to just sprawl around there.
He doesn't even look like a proper drunkard.
Well, he's pretty smartly dressed, yeah, isn't he? He's basically just lying down.
And he's not even drinking.
But he has a can of Dutch Gold, but he's not drinking at your pace, that's for sure. But it's none other than Irvin Welch himself.
I mean, it is. He's did it a few times.
I presume he's playing the same character in
possibly,
it as well.
Yeah.
He's turned into a real Alfred Hitchcock. He likes his cameos he's involved with. Well, he was obviously in Trainspotting.
He's in everything.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. He wasn't in Creation Stories, though.
I'm sure he was.
We just missed him. But he gives an expletive.
Ah, fuck off. Just for no reason.
Well, your man, Joe Dom, nearly falls all over him. Yeah, he has to jump over him. The two of them exchange unpleasantries.
Numbers for later on that night.
Yeah. See you back here on the shuttle bus. So, where am I?
You're in your house.
Yeah.
So he goes home and has a shower.
Yeah, sorry, he goes home. Yeah, I'm still reading through the stuff I just fucking said. He goes home, he's in the shower after his long jog, and basically starts feeling his genitals.
He does.
He's not happy with what he feels.
Mm.
The cat looks like he's listening to me.
He fucking is, and he's turning his back on you.
And then we get a kind of a long scene where he's crouched over in the shower. His whole life is flashing in front of him, I imagine, at this point.
Well, his bollocks is, isn't it?
And then we get really expensive looking Comic Sans nuts.
Yeah.
The title of the show. And no expense spared. There's about $5,000 of the budget gone there on that, I think. And that's fair enough, because that's the name of the short film, is Nuts. Next scene, we see his partner, her wife. I don't think it's ever fully.
She's way over his league.
She's a lot younger than him as
way
well.
Way younger. It's ridiculous.
She's standing in the kitchen.
She owns his daughter.
Yeah. She's standing in the kitchen, and with the camera work, we get this clever Austin Powers-esque camera work where Joe comes in. I'm just going to call him Joe. Comes in and stands directly behind a fruit bowl.
But
he's fully dressed. He's not hiding any genitalia the way Austin Powers was. But basically, a banana and two apples are meant to symbolize his genitals, and then she grabs one of the apples. You know, a metaphor for
symbolizing his lewdness bollocks.
Basically,
but
yes.
In fairness, you don't know what that's saying. He could have, when he was.
No, but this is what's going through his head.
When he was in the shower rubbing himself up, he could have found an extra testicle. It doesn't say. You're just.
Or maybe they should have called it extra nuts.
It just said nuts. So it is plural.
He doesn't. He starts to get this vacant look on his face, worried and. Mm. Yeah. There's actually a lot of silent scenes in this.
There's a lot of silence. Just him and his face.
So the wife reminds him that they have a dinner party that night.
And she starts feeling.
Yeah, she gets feisty, which is nice that hour of the morning.
And he turns her down.
He acts like she's basically just assaulted him, yeah. He tells her he loves her because he thinks he's going to die later that day.
Yeah.
And she basically sees this as an invitation to start riding him, which is nice. Don't think that works, but anyway.
No, definitely not.
So he heads off. He's in the car then. This is one of the more memorable scenes from this short film. Looks like he's around the Grand Canal somewhere, but he's caught up in traffic, and it's one of those situations where your car's at a stop. So a paper salesman approaches it. He's trying to sell him the paper. Joe says, fair enough, and he's searching around the car for some change. Your man's getting very impatient.
He's a black lad who sold it to him.
He's a black lad, yes. He is played by a man called Uki Gabriel Akujobi.
Yeah, no one cares about him.
Well, he's the paper salesman in this chance. He was also in Fair City, according to IMDb.
Nobody cares about him if he's in Fair City.
And his wife, well, I think that her partner is called, she's called wife in this, actually, so they must be married. She's called Olga Wurley. She was in Normal People, the Paul Mescal extravaganza from a couple of years ago. I'm just going to have to let this cat out. Hang on. And Dom, Joe, says to him, all right, don't get your knickers in a twist. To which the paper salesman, Fair City star, isn't happy. He thinks he's been racially abused,
yeah.
Indeed. Which is not what Dom said, and he gets out of there pretty quick. Luckily, the traffic starts up again, and he tells him
if he's not happy, why doesn't he fuck off to where he came from?
Exactly, yeah. So he really does racially abuse him.
Yeah. Your mom was being overly aggressive with his paper. So
he really was. He really was. But then there was a loss in translation, basically. Mm. So there's comedy there, but obviously there's a racial slur as well, which is not good. Next, he's in work. And he's looking up testicular cancer on the old Google machine.
Or was he looking up extra bollocks?
He could have been. He could have been. What do you do if you have an extra bollocks?
Yeah, yeah. Is it a good or a bad thing?
I wouldn't call it a bad thing.
Oh, it'd be all right.
Would you have to pay twice if you went for the snip then? Or it would be an extra tube?
If you've got fucking three, then what are you getting a snip for? You might as well use it. You might need bigger underpants.
Start inseminating goats or something. Yeah, so this is a fucking... This is an annoying bit because it's actually quite like a work situation, really.
Oh.
And I don't think the rector's around him either, which is
just... Your man's just a big oaf.
Your man is the most annoying fucker. In fairness, they get him spot on because that's what an annoying fucker in work would definitely look and sound. And
full of shite.
Yeah. Going on about his sexual conquests.
And the state of...
Chomping away on sweets and fuck knows what.
I'd say his hand would turn him down. He's that ugly. Fuck's sake.
Vicky has gout in his big toe.
Gout in his bollocks, I'd say.
And that work colleague of yours who has pus coming out of his legs.
Oh, sepsis.
Joe has the old segregation in place with the desk. He doesn't want his shit anywhere near him.
He's clean.
Yeah.
Freak.
As if anyone would put up with that. Oh, you know.
There was no boss around. Your man was just lying on the desk.
Yeah, he was basically asleep.
Yeah.
And there's this another bit of clever symbolism where he has one of those old machines that people had in the 80s where you knock the ball. Yeah. Basically to symbolise Joe's extra nuff. Another co-worker comes in who is played by Emer Martin, the film's producer. So I was going to say double jobbing. She's actually triple jobbing. And I'll get to that. She probably stopped me tripping. Do I have down the fucker's name? Office Mate 1. He was called Steve Wilson. He was apparently a driver in Love Hate. That's not necessarily meaning he was on screen. He was probably just a driving people.
Taxi man, basically. Yeah.
But she comes in anyway, Emer. She got her arm in a sling.
Yeah.
And he asks, what happened to you? She says it was a riding accident. And he makes a hilarious joke about, I've had some of those myself. And he's nudging Joe.
Do you end up in child maintenance?
Yeah, child maintenance. Oh, dear.
If ever there was a Jaffer, there was him.
Thankfully, we get away from him for a minute. There's more symbolism then when Joe is walking past, I think it's the Bank of Ireland in town, and there's the big ball outside there. They should have had him down by the Nace ball.
That's a proper ball.
Yeah. We got a quick shot at the old pool bag chimneys then, which no story set in Dublin would be complete without them.
And obviously nothing's been said. He's just wandering around like a spaz. Yeah.
it's probably the geographically, it doesn't make sense.
Nothing makes sense.
It's like in The Snapper when your man's driving across O'Connell Bridge about four times.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going southbound, but then he ends up the rotunda. I suppose anyone I'm sure there's Americans who look at shit and go, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
We got some somber Latin flavored music then, for some reason, while he's contemplating going into a church.
Yeah.
Obviously, he wants to
talk to the big man upstairs.
Talk to the big man, get some help about this extra ball.
Yeah.
But then he says no, and he goes to a pub instead.
That's an Irish answer.
It's very, very Irish. He's got an old whiskey and a pint. I'm surprised he's not. He has something in his contract where he can't be filmed with Guinness anymore, old Joe McKinney. Because, I mean, anyone in Ireland would recognise him as the famous dancing man. I presume that ad was all over the shop.
Well,
Guinness ads, worldwide. But I imagine he's fucking sick at the sight of it, even though he obviously drinks Guinness in this.
He loves it.
But he's there for a while. He gets half tanked. And, there's another shot where he's looking at the men and women's jacks. The symbols on the doors.
Yeah.
And is that meant to imply that he thinks if he loses his nuts or he's one of his nuts, he's going to be a woman then?
I don't think that's how it works.
He has to be, what are they called? What are the people with no Mickeys called?
Women.
No, the other ones, the less sexy ones.
Oh.
The
chicks with dicks.
Oh, God, where are they? Not, well, obviously, chicks with dicks have dicks. Sorry. What's it called when you when you're a man and you lose your genitalia?
Bad luck.
Oh God.
A eunuch.
Eunuch, that's it. I was thinking a newt. I'm like, that's not right. We've already mentioned newts, in this, have we?
In the amphibian section.
Sexy newts. Catherine Ryan is a sexy newt. Or eunuch. She doesn't have a dick either. Right?
Well, I hope not.
We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, he finally makes it back home. His dinner guests are getting very impatient.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a dinner party with two couples.
Another couple of fine actors.
God.
They have nothing down on IMDb as being in anything else. They're just
I'd say they were literally kicked off the street.
Dinner friend one and dinner friend two.
Yeah.
And again, much younger.
Way younger, yeah.
More his wife's age. But they're real awkward even when they're waiting for him. If that was your friends, you'd just go, fuck him.
Yeah, let's get pissed. They're just sitting there in silence.
Yeah, it's like they're waiting for a job interview to start. He comes in with the two bottles of wine, cracks one open and downs it straight away. And he starts telling the story then about what happened today.
I mean, racially abused
someone. Your man is kind of on his side.
Yes, he is.
Basically saying, fuck him and shouldn't be here and all the rest of it.
What are they over here for? They're useless.
Yeah. The woman is more defensive. She's playing the more open-minded view on this matter. And just kind of this little spiel by, I think her or him, I can't remember, about the economic refugees and the situation. It's quite reminiscent of sometimes in Welch's books where he starts talking about the state of...
the union.
Yeah. It's just a little flavour of that in here. Anyway, what else is the wife talking about? She's not happy with him, but sure.
She still offers him a ride later on and says no again.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's not how it works in real life.
Then we get Jerry Fish and the Mud Boat Club, is it?
Mud Butt Club. No, I don't think it's that.
Jerry Jenkum and the Butt Club. It's some song called Upside Down, which is,
depressing.
It's the only kind of actual song that I could pinpoint in this. And we see Joe, he's over at Tala Hospital then.
Yeah, in the most ridiculous looking waiting room I've ever seen.
Well, first of all, he's on the top of the car park, which you can do. For some reason, he must have got there very early for his appointment. Yeah. So he's just standing on top of this car park, staring.
Contemplating.
Right. And then the scenery does not match up with where he is, because I think we see the fucking chimneys again. Oh no, you see the SIP2 building, I think.
Which is not in Tala Hospital.
No. But anyway, he goes in to the hospital and it's a weird setup. I know there's not technically no waiting rooms in hospitals. It's all open plan now. But this looks like he's just in a GP somewhere.
Yeah.
Everyone's in talking to each other. This is definitely before COVID because everyone's basically sitting on each other's laps, coughing and spluttering.
Irvin Wells there.
Irvin's there.
Shite. Gibberish.
With his eyes, he's pretending he's asleep.
Yeah. Talking. Not very convincing.
Yeah. There's two women in burkas. One of which is the producer, Emer Martin, once again. There's an outflow with tomato ketchup all over him.
He's blew it all over.
Like they just leave him sitting there.
Like, in fairness, if you had a feminine lump or you were growing an extra testicle, you're not going to go into A&E.
Exactly. So that's what I wondered. Was he just in A&E?
But then he went, no, it was a hospital. Definitely
a hospital. He had an actual appointment. It's anyway, you're not meant to think about these things, I suppose. But it's fucking weird. And now it's about the waiting room.
Just get out of it quick.
Yeah, it's pretty... Oh, he mentioned Welch when he's mumbling, mentioned Shamrock Rovers for some reason. I think he's a Bowes fan.
Unsurprising.
Who do you support?
Not fucking dead.
Pats. Pats, yeah. He finally makes it to the hospital bed then to be examined. And it's... Again, I found this a bit strange. Would you not be just brought into some sort of...
triage.
Room.
Yes.
And put on he's actually given a hospital bed, which even in 2007 would have been pretty fucking scarce.
No chance.
Curtain's over and he's sitting there waiting. And he's a bit put off when this large man comes in.
Joy Black lad.
He is black. So again,
Dr. Umbongo.
We mentioned this because it's, it ties in with the whole racial theme of the show. Now, Dr. John, he's called on IMDb, but does he introduce himself as Dr. John?
It's Dr. Umbongo or something.
Yeah. Anyway, Dr. John, as he says on IMDb, is played by James Akpoter. Now, James and I have a little bit of a connection because I looked him up. He's or was a stand-up comedian as well as obviously trying his hand at acting. And he is a 5 times recipient of the Rubber Duck Award in the Halfpenny Bridge stand-up open mic, which your humble host has won once. Bastard. So I have 4 to get to catch up with Dr. John here. And I can tell you now I won't be getting that because I won't be trying. But fair play to him. No easy feat, I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
So Dr. John, yeah, straight away he's looking pretty weird.
He looks shifty. He's not a doctor.
He's absolutely massive. Joe looks pretty nervous. And you're kind of left wondering, well, Joe, Dr. John says to him out straight, are you nervous because I'm a black man? Are you nervous because I'm just a man in general? Or are you intimidated because I'm going to be putting my dirty black hands on your little Irish white willy? And not my words, the words of Irvin Welsh. And we never really get the answer to that, but I think Joe's just generally nervous about
it. It would be quite perturbing to see that.
It certainly is.
Jesus Christ.
And then there's more kind of clever camera work where Dr. John is down on his knees or crouching anyway. And it genuinely looks like he's sucking him off. You just see the top of his head bobbing. And then Joe's like, what are you doing? What do you do? God knows what he was doing to the poor man. There was probably a lot of foreskin peeling. It's hard to know, isn't it? He's supposed to be concentrating on the testicles, but he could have been doing anything to him.
He was more shaft impressed.
Yeah. And then an alarm goes off. And we see this action shot. It's another change in music to this action music. And we see a nurse and 2 security guards rush in to the room and open the curtain and grab the 2 guards. Grab your man. There he is. There he is. Get him out of here. And Joe's like, what the fuck's going on?
He just got molested, basically.
Yeah. And your one just explains, yeah, he's just the lunatic that wanders around the hospital sometimes.
Wanking off.
Posing as a doctor. And you think that they'd be able to spot this man.
Yes, he's not inconspicuous.
So this obviously happens all the time. Thankfully, that's never happened to me when I've gone to Tallaght Hospital.
Neither. I'm not going to Tallaght Hospital.
Well, I have been there with my children, but thankfully that hasn't happened either.
Never again.
And then a real doctor comes in. And it's noted, or it should be noted, she is foreign as well, but she's not black. But I don't know whether that was deliberate or not. I don't know.
Who knows.
A last kind of note on the whole racism side of things and the supposed problem with immigrants that is mentioned here. And then she says, what seems to be the problem? And now Joe McKinney does another classic stare. And I do like, at this stage, he's just totally pissed off. He's quite good at the old death stare. And it's different to the one he has in Good Arrows, where he looks scared sometimes. And he just says, I have a lump on me bollocks. And roll credits.
That's it.
And that's Irvin's first film in the bag.
If only it was his last. Retire at the top.
I think it's too short to have a favourite bit or a most disturbing bit.
It's only about 15 minutes long.
I suppose connecting lines, obviously, as we said, Joe McKinney is the star, as well as being in Good Arrows. And Dean Kavanagh also wrote it. That's kind of it. What's your thoughts on this?
Hilarious when I say it first. It's very funny.
We watched it together the first time.
It was ridiculous. It's not meant to be that. It's not meant to be funny, but it is.
It has to be meant to be funny. Oh, you mean you're just laughing at the kind of
general... everything about it? Yes.
I wouldn't say anyone involved would have a problem with that.
No.
I mean, these.
I don't think they set out to be a comedy, but it definitely is.
Oh God, he had to. Some of the shit in it has to have been.
I don't think so.
It's described as a comedy.
But it is a comedy.
With some serious
There's themes. Nothing serious about it.
No. Look, if you watch, I watch a lot of these short films, you know, on short screen, on RTE or anything. I do like the concept of it. And they're all traditionally low budget because, you know, it's directors who are starting out in life and this is it. And some of them work really well.
But some of them
don't. Do you remember the one we watched years and years ago? I had it on VHS tape and it was called Waiting for Go. And I only learned years afterwards that it was meant to be a kind of inspired by that. What's that play? Waiting for Godot, is it? There was 2 or 3 blokes in a car waiting at a stop sign in America, just in America. And it's like in fucking arse end of nowhere. It's like a desert. and the light just won't change. And then there's like a bloke in a chicken suit. I'm trying to remember this. I had this on VHS tape. I just taped it. Maybe it's just a dream I had. Yeah. But anyway, I do like these short films. If you stumbled across this and you didn't know anything about Irvin Welsh, a bit like Good Arrows, you kind of go, that passed the time for 10 minutes on a Tuesday night. It's not going to win any Oscars. It didn't.
Surprisingly enough.
The acting from everyone bar Joe himself is highly questionable. Probably because there's no other actors in it, really. I mean, Dr. John's all right. That's about it.
That's it.
The Emer in the burka, she pulled that off.
She pulled that off well.
Don't know who the other burka woman was.
Yeah, it's a pity.
Could have been anyone. Irvin himself.
Awful. Well,
Laurence Olivier stuff from him.
God. Fucking brutal.
And that's it. There's a strong message in there. That's about all we can say about it. I think the only thing we can say is to our gentlemen listeners, of which there are certainly more than there are women.
I don't think there's any women that listen to this.
According to the statistics on Spotify, and that's only for Spotify, really. Well, actually, no, I think it sucks up the information from elsewhere also. But yeah, it's about 94% of our listeners are male, apparently.
With 1 in 6% chance of it being wrong.
3% non-binary.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, all we could say, I suppose, is to our listeners, check your ball sack.
Well, you could say that.
You could, well, I just did. You could have an extra one.
That'd be, a bonus. Bonus ball.
You could be lucky. They can't all be winners, Bad Santa once said, never know. And that's it.
That's good.
We'll be back again soon.
Very soon.
As in within the next year.
Yes.
With a book episode. We settled on the last one. We're powering our way through Skag Boys as we speak.
We certainly are.
So we will we'll get that out. And I suppose the only thing we have to say now, I suspect, is Happy Christmas.
Merry Xmas.
Because we won't be seeing any of our listeners, well, ever, because we don't see them.
True.
But they won't be hearing from us this side of Christmas, probably.
I wouldn't think so, unless something drastic happens.
Like we both end up in the hospital and we're just reading Skag Boys now and stuff.
Yeah, getting molested by black lads.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, thanks very much for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Happy Christmas.